Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Umpqua Community College in Roseburg, Oregon, reopened its doors today, offering students and faculty the chance to pick up belongings or participate in grief-sharing sessions. Classes resume a week from today. After the gunman opened fire last Thursday and killed 9 people, there's been talk about gun violence and gun ownership in the U.S., and we're going to continue that conversation now with Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic, who's been looking at the statistics about guns in the U.S. and joins us now, as he does each Monday. Hi, Derek.
Hi, Jeremy.
And we've been hearing about mass shootings, for example, being on the rise in this country, a sharp rise since 2000, according to the FBI. And by one count, almost 300 mass shootings this year alone.
I think it's important to say two things are true with regard to gun violence. First, there is some evidence that mass shootings are more common than they used to be. Second, there is lots of evidence that gun violence overall is way down since the late 1980s, 1990s. The first fact, I think, probably fits with what most people feel when they follow the news these days or for the last 3 or 5 years. This does seem to be happening more, these events with multiple deaths, a lone shooter, often a young man with a history of mental health problems or antisocial behavior. Overall gun deaths, however, when you look at them, that is way down since the 1980s, early 90s, by about 40%. And I don't say this to distract from the fact that mass shootings are becoming more common or in any way excuse it, but rather I think that the overall numbers are important context.
And what about gun ownership? We know that the shooting suspect here had more than 13 guns, according to federal agents. All were bought legally. What is gun ownership like in the U.S. right now?
Our best estimates are there are about 300 million guns in the U.S. right now, one for every man, woman, and child. But saying exactly how many people, how many households own guns, that does get a little more difficult. Our best guess is about one-third. Pew Research Center has looked into this. Gallup, the General Social Survey, they've all asked. Pew and the General Social Survey both came out saying it's about 34% of households who own a gun. Gallup says a little bit higher. All say less than half. And in terms of historical, it's important to note that the share of Americans with a gun does seem to be falling, albeit very slowly.
And what does the research say about the connection between gun ownership and gun violence?
So let's talk about this globally and domestically. Globally, the U.S. owns the most guns and has the most deaths by firearms, both by a wide margin. We have 20 times the gun homicide rate of Australia, for example, about 5x Canada. The U.S. accounts for about 4% of the world's people and about 42% of the world's guns. There also appears to be a correlation between gun ownership, gun availability, and gun deaths by state. This isn't just because guns lead to more murders. It's also because, and this is sometimes overlooked, about half to 60% of all gun deaths are suicide. So what we see both at the U.S. level and at the global level is that gun availability seems to correlate rather closely to gun violence.
Now, this becomes very political very quickly. It has for a long time, but it has in this case as well, some of the presidential hopefuls talking about gun violence and gun control. On NBC's Meet the Press yesterday, Republican Donald Trump attributed school shootings to sick people and copycats. Let's listen.
The strictest laws in the United States, in the world, for guns happens to be Chicago, where they have a lot of problems. The problem you have is the strongest, the most stringent laws are, in almost every case, the worst places. It doesn't seem to work.
Derek, is that right, what he's saying about Chicago?
No. I mean, Chicago has a history of violence, of gang violence, and gun control policies there were a effort to fix them. So this is dangerously close to saying that firefighters cause fires, because whenever I see an apartment fire, there always seems to be a fire truck in front of the building. I think it's important to note with Chicago a couple of things. First, the city's homicide rate is way down about 40% since the early 1990s, in line with a lot of the country. Second, and most importantly, most of the guns in Chicago don't come from Chicago. They come from just outside of Chicago. They're acquired from the suburbs of Illinois, which do not have the strictest gun laws on planet Earth. You drive 28 miles south on I-94 East, and you arrive at a place, a much written about place, called Chuck's Gun Shop in Riverdale, Illinois. And according to the Times, 1,300 guns seized on the streets of Chicago between 2009 and 2013 came from this one store. It is a 13-minute Uber ride or taxi ride from the southern tip of the Red Line in Chicago. So it is not that difficult to get guns inside of Chicago. They're from all over the country, and they're pooling in.
And meanwhile, of course, Hillary Clinton today at a town hall meeting also addressing this issue in New Hampshire, presenting a plan for universal background checks and calling for better record keeping. But Derek, do we expect anything to change as a result of this latest tragedy?
Unfortunately, there have been so many mass shootings in the last 5 years and so little action taken at the federal level that it is becoming almost impossible to imagine that any one more shooting is going to be the tipping point.
Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic. Derek, thanks as always.
Thank you.